Hello, my fellow inmates. Well, I'm not as much an inmate, I hope, as you are. My name is Jay Nemro. This is Quasi-Indefatigable Gentleness, and we're trying to free you from the constraints of the asylum of being a slave to the institutions that run your life, of being a cow, of always doing what everybody else is doing because you figure that's the safest or the smartest thing to do. I want to save you from that. Oh, wow. I'll tell you a little bit about my personal things in the internet. My first experience with the internet, actually it goes before the internet. There was actually a thing called BBSing, and it was based on a computerized bulletin board system that used to just be run on private computers and telephones. You would call them up on the telephone with a modem, and you would get on these things, and you'd have conversations with other people around you. You'd have, you'd share files back and forth with each other. You could get on to networks that were larger that would allow your message to be carried all over the world. This was kind of the things that came up before there was really universal email, kind of things that happened before normal people could get access at all to the internet, to the worldwide network. Anyway, you know, I was doing that long before there was actually access to the internet. I finally got close to the internet in the grand day in 1991, which was long before there was a World Wide Web. Terms like Netscape or Internet Explorer didn't exist yet, because there were no web pages. There were some other things. You could mostly contact computers by calling them on the telephone and coming up with them. Sometimes you'd have another person's computer that they shared with other people, or you would be on a timeshare service. That's where the places like CompuServe got started, was places where a whole bunch of people could connect to big timesharing computers. Those things were started back in the 60s, you know, mostly around the time I was born, but now they're, but at that time, back in the late 80s and the early 90s is when I started doing that kind of stuff. That was the state of the art. I had a computer and a terminal, and a modem, and I would connect with these things, and we'd have a great old time chatting back and forth about things. We'd talk to people who were yelling and screaming and being mean and nasty, but most of the time, things were pretty congenial, and you had a person that kind of ran things, and they were kind of little controlled little societies, small ones, kind of small little local get-together, have-fun type things. It was all about people and computers. It was mostly computer-type people who just liked hanging around with each other. Well, when I first got on the internet, it was a wild and woolly place. There were no businesses that really functioned much on the internet at all. It was mostly individual. Start out in colleges and institutions of higher learning, and computer science departments, and they all of a sudden had these ability to network with other colleges, to work with their colleagues. Then it boiled down to students. And we came up with all these interesting things. We could talk to each other through IRC. We could share files with each other through FTP, or a new thing that was called Gopher. And you could do just amazing things. You could share information. You could go out and find information. You could go out, and there's places that would publish all the weather statistics for all the upcoming weather reports were all of a sudden done electronically through gophers. The government ran some, too. And all this stuff happened before the internet was ever alive, and it was kind of a fun place. Then all of a sudden, the World Wide Web broke loose, and it was amazing. All of a sudden, things hit kind of what's called critical mass, and everybody, with just a little bit of money and not without too much talent, could get connected to this thing called the Internet and be on the World Wide Web, which was the new thing that came up in, like, 1992, 1993. You were able to very simply put up pictures and sound files and do cool things that were appealing to regular people. A lot of the things that were around before then weren't appealing to regular people. You know, being able to pass messages back and forth among just a handful of people wasn't very exciting. BBSing was a little bit more exciting than that, and that's what a lot of people got into. And that's what got me into it. I love being able to go out to other computers and just fooling around with them. Well, now then came the Internet. And the World Wide Web, which made the Internet, which made this interconnected network popular and useful, and people liked it. It was fun. And all of a sudden there, I think it was in the mid to late 90s, everything just kind of went crazy. It was just a kick in the butt. Anybody could have a free website, and you would get on that free website, and nobody was really worried about whether there was a lot of money to be made. There was a little bit of money to be made. People were throwing money out left and right. Venture capitalists figured that someday there would be a lot of money. to be made through the Internet. And so you didn't really have to have such a great idea. All you had to do was stuff together. Well, it was great. People would just throw up a website on any old subject at all, just their hobbies, whatever, and it was fun. I used to enjoy going on the Internet. There was very little bad stuff on it. There was some, but it was somewhat easy to avoid. And you could go to interesting people who would take pictures of themselves and put it up on the web and just have fun. People who did poetry, they would shove their poetry up there. And they would do it for free, because it was all out there. Everybody was doing it. It was great. I enjoyed that time. I wish we had that time back. Now the Internet, I shouldn't call it the Internet, the World Wide Web is very commercialized. It's very yucky, you know? I think part of it is just because anybody can get on it with no brains at all and do whatever they like. Most of those things have gone away now. A lot of the free things just aren't anymore. They used to give away, you know, they used to give away PCs. They used to give away computers for free to people just to get them on the Internet. You know, they would charge you for your Internet access. And it ended up being a business model that didn't work. People wanted better computers than what were being given away. And, you know, that's just kind of the way it ended up working. In a way, I guess I'm a throwback. I like the good old days. I like the good old ways of doing things. Passing messages back and forth, just having a good time, having fun with other people. And doing it through computers. It was just a kick in the butt for me. I enjoyed it. And it's really kind of gone now, honestly. Now it's all about the business of the Internet, you know. Anytime you want to do something, it used to be everything was free. Now almost everything you have to pay for. There's a few things that are still free, but that's just people waiting until a time when they can figure out how to charge for it. It's getting smaller and smaller now. Oh, well, I've been doing this for a total of 10 minutes, and I usually have about 20. I'm running out of things to say. I've always wanted to do a computerized bulletin board system. You know what? In a strange sort of way, I still do. I enjoy that. I am starting to branch out a little bit. I'm getting ready to get my amateur radio license. And I want to be able to do those kinds of things through amateur radio. I just like the whole idea of doing that. I enjoy sharing, so I have a website too. Honestly, I run my own web server, and all my information's on that web server. And it makes it so people can get to my stuff if they want to. I know the traffic's light, because nobody really surfs, nobody really cruises, looks for new and interesting things anymore. They go to the internet for a reason. You know, they go out to go to eHarmony.com to go get themselves a spouse. They go out to go buy a piece of equipment. It's almost become like going to the mall. It's very controlled. If you're not there looking to buy something, there's really nothing to do. There's nothing to do for just people who are just looking to browse around. And that's kind of sad, because I always thought that was one of the magical things about the World Wide Web, is the ability just to put a word into your search engine. And, well, everybody says you put the word into Google now, although Google's almost one of the very late comers to the whole thing. It's taken over. But it wasn't the first. You know, the first was actually, what was the first one? There was so many in the beginning, and they're most of them are still there, at least in name. There was Hotbot, which was my personal favorite in the early, in the late 90s, was Hotbot, which was run by a consortium that also ran Wired Magazine. Now it's owned by, I think, Lycos or something like that. There's been a lot of consolidation. I think the oldest one was actually Alta Vista. Alta Vista was actually begun by, who was it begun by? Digital. Digital Equipment Corporation was actually, I think, was the originator of Alta Vista. It's still there. It's not one of the main players at all. It's really kind of out there in the periphery, and most people don't even know it exists. If you say Alta Vista, they would go, "What's that?" It was the first. Website. You know, I'm not sure it was Digital that did it first. I forget. It was a rather large. I think it was a computer company who put it out there first. A big one. One that you would recognize. It was spun off eventually, and then it became inconsequential. You can still get to it, but there's not much there. Web Spider was a really early one that was really good. Yahoo started kind of early, when it was just all it was a search engine. Now it's become this huge portal. A lot of people still use Yahoo, but, you know, search is only one portion of it. It's interesting to go back and see how things started and what they eventually morphed into. It really is. But anyway, I started out with all these things back in the early 90s, and I'd still like to have them back. All the things that used to be so cool about BBSing, just kind of, it was almost like exploring a cave, and there was always more caves to go. I used to have a bunch. I used to save up my money. No, I used to spend my money, whether I saved up or not, to call long distance to some interesting BBS that caught my eye. There's some interest that they had that I was interested in. One of them just dealt with images from space. They would get them from NASA. They live close to NASA, so they had good resources to be able to get it there. And they would put on their BBS so other people could have it, and they shared them, and that was the whole point. It was kind of a sharing thing. You would go to the source if you wanted to, but there was always the BBS you'd go to that had the latest and the greatest. And it was like, it was almost like cave, climbing caves. And you have to understand, you know, it's kind of like if you like spelunking, you know, climbing around in caves, you don't want to go to Carlsbad Caverns, walk along the manicured trails, listen to the little electronic doohickeys that tell you about this and that, and look at all of the formations that everybody's looked at, that 3/4 of people have touched and gotten their greasy little hands all over and destroyed. You don't want to do that. And that's kind of what's happened with the internet. The whole idea of going and finding new interesting files, going and doing, just finding stuff that's hard to find, going out and finding gems, is gone because most people, they say, well, that's what my computer's for. I go out and I go to shockwave.com. I go to Adam Films and watch some of the new little free films that are advertised there. You know, and that's kind of what it's become. It's like all the fun stuff has been co-opted. Now it's like Carlsbad Caverns. It's a place where you take your 2-year-old kid in a stroller, where, you know, anybody can go there and there's nothing to it, you know, where spelunking, a whole new cave that's just been discovered, is exciting and even kind of somewhat dangerous, and it's got kind of a thrill to it. There's no thrill to the internet because there's no new, neat, new place that nobody's ever found. It's all there. You can get to it in 2 clicks. Any idiot can find it. And that's really the great shame to it, is that this isn't interesting to people anymore. Anyway, I've always thought about just going in and doing a BBS again. I still could. Still there. I still got the capability and the technology to do it. It took me a long time to get to the point to where the technology kind of crept up with me. But it's there and I can. Of course, the whole point is, one of the great parts about it is being able to share it and be able to have the whole wow circumstance with somebody else, or being able to share a secret place or an exclusive club with other people, and being able to have neat stuff there that makes life worth living. And frankly, that's gone. There's none of that. Everything has paid admission, and everybody, you know, everybody gets handheld through it. It's like having guardrails in Carlsbad Caverns. It's no fun. It's like saying, oh boy, we're going to go and we're going to hike around in the cave. You go, oh, that's cool. But then you just go and it's like, oh, well, it's not exciting. It's lost its allure. It's not there. Who cares? Anybody can do this. My 90-year-old grandmother does this. Oh, it's something that shows a little bit. And that was what was fun about the computer hobby when I first started with it, because it had a certain level of difficulty to it. You had to know a lot of things to make the sucker work. You know, once we started dumbing things down so that everybody could get there, you know, all of a sudden dummies started screwing around with things. That's where viruses came from. That's where just junk. That's where porn everywhere came from. It's from just people who said, you know, this is a new cool way that I can spread around my own crap whenever I want to. At least you had to have a little bit of technical skill. You had to have a couple of parts that were hard to get a hold of to get there. That's why I'm going back to amateur radio. I had looked into it when I was young, because, but, you know, computers were a way that were a little more interesting to me. And I was a little bit shy about going out and taking, and getting a license. That was too that was something I didn't want to have to do. But now, you know, it seems like amateur radio is really kind of the connection that I need. It's with kind of people that have to say, well, you have to invest yourself a little bit into this to make it work. It's not stupidware. It's not just something where you can say, I can do this because I can pay some money and it'll just happen. It requires a little bit more brain. And that's what I want to kind of get back into. I enjoyed something for the just the sheer technical rigor of being able to pull it off and keep pulling it off. I now make money with my skill I put together to do that. And it's great. I enjoy it. I enjoy the challenge of saying, how am I going to make this work? How am I going to do this? How am I going to solve these problems? And I've always been really fortunate. I felt blessed. I felt led in some spiritual sense by God to the things that I do now. And I'm kind of hoping to kind of share this with my kids so that they'll have the same thing. You just have this thirst for making things happen. And, well, there it is. Well, fortunately, I finally got up to the time that I needed to be. You know, this is almost like more of a yearning MP3 file than anything else. Yearnings for times when there was great innovation. I want to get back up there with the innovators. Computers really have become very passé, you know. I spend my time dealing with people who really don't want to mess with them hardly at all. And when you try and say, well, let's just give this a try. Try this out. This is potentially... could be fun. They go, no, I'm not interested in any of that stuff. You know, the only way I'll like it is if it's just dead, dog, flat, simple. You know, tell me what your button to press to send the emails. And you go, you don't want to do something more interesting with it? No, I have no interest in anything more interesting than pressing a button and making it work. These people all just see computers as an outgrowth of their work. For me, it was a hobby. It was fun. And it still is. I try to still make it that way or else I'll just go mad. I'll go nutso. That's why I have my own server. I've gotten into that. I've gotten into Linux because Linux is kind of where the cutting edge fun is. It's kind of where these things still happen. Anyway, this is Jane Emro. You're listening to Quasi-Indefatigable Zendalist, the MP3s that never stop. I hope you're not stuck in the institutional mind. The institutional mind wants you to just consume, consume, consume. Never wants you to produce. I've always enjoyed producing. Making things happen. Having fun. Enjoying being creative. I hope you're the same way. I hope you develop an interest in being that way. And until next time, have a great day.